Hey everybody, good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome back. I hope everybody was enjoying those videos. Those were
Yeah.
videos that I
Well,
edited.
welcome to the next level, right?
Yeah, seriously. I edited those videos, I want to say like 99, 2000. I mean, and for a oh
Your
my video feed is
face is frozen in the most amazing face ever.
oh, look at that, look at me. Let's see if I can. I think I can fix it here. Nope, it's not. Let's see if this fixes it. No, it's not. What's going on here? Come on, hang on. Watch the chat.
I just love how tired you look. People say they can't hear me.
Oh, no, they should be able to hear you. Can you talk?
I'm talking right now.
Yeah, I mean, they should be able to hear you. Weird. So my
You're frozen and I'm mute.
that's weird. I'm gonna restart OBS, I guess, really quick.
Oh, other people are saying they can hear me.
Why? Well, I can't unfreeze myself. I don't know why. Let me switch over to
Are you
here.
using the webcam you just bought today?
I am not. It's just like frozen on me. I can't do anything about it. Let me just restart it. I'll be right back.
Okay. Is it still not working?
It's just a black screen now.
I wonder if your new webcam is like conflicting with it for some reason.
It shouldn't be. I'm just bring us back so I can so we don't lose the archive here. Hang on. Is it there we go. I think I fixed it. I think it was the couch.
Your webcams are weird sometimes.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, you've got the low color depth going on. I love it when it does this.
All right. Sorry
Looks
about
awesome.
that. I mean, I just got this really kind of expensive webcam at Goodwill today for $4. It's like a 1080p Logitech that sells for, like around like $50 new now.
So what's the occasion that we're streaming with contacts? I feel like this might be a first.
It's just because I went to the the gym today, and I don't like to wear my glasses at
Wow.
the gym. So, whatever, it is what it is.
Canadian Fuzzy asked if I have nice storage placement for the Steel Battalion controller, and I do not. It,
But
it, 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 at present, the foot pedals are underneath my tripod. So no, I haven't figured it out yet.
Really quick, I want to kind of go back to those videos that we
Oh
showed, like in the
yeah.
because we didn't get a chance to really talk to them too much. I talk about them. So I made those in like 99, 2000. It was, my second year of college. I used to do video for a website called a fan site called The Next Level. And I kind of feel like doing videos like that at that time was very much ahead of its t like. There wasn't a lot of stuff like that at the time. And I was very much
Yeah.
inspired by the video editor at GameFan Online, who was known in the magazine as Hi-Fi. And watching him do videos like that made me kind of interested in it. And that's like kind of the reason that I even got into doing video. So he had a big part in that.
So you weren't already editing seriously at any extent before that.
Right, not digitally, for sure. That's when I decided to kind of figure out how to, I downloaded a cracked version of Premiere, and that's kind of where I learned. But I think it's just kind of fun.
Which, let's be real, that's where every editor got their start.
Pretty
So,
much, pretty
I
much.
mean, as much as you should like pay for your Premiere, if you're a teenager, I'd say, no shame. That's how everyone gets
Yeah.
started.
But I would do videos like that to kind of, like edit stuff, which is would very much go on to be, like what we do in a lot of ways. We started doing the channel because, I mean, I think that we wanted to edit stuff that we were excited about.
Yeah.
You know? And I just think it's funny that it kind of goes back that far, you know?
Yeah. How many of those do you have?
That was all the ones that I still have. I did a whole bunch more, but I lost them in a hard drive crash a long time ago. I would love to see some of the other ones. I don't even remember what they are anymore.
So I tweeted that that you're playing Sin and Punishment to convince people to buy it before you can no longer buy Wii Shop points. But in reality, I mean, you can buy this on the Wii U, and based on very limited comparison I did, like N64 probably looks better on the Wii U VC than the Wii VC, but I didn't do extensive testing or anything. I don't know if there's any potential downsides to N64 VC on Wii U, but
might be something that we want to take a look at, like at a later date, I think.
For sure. But and I think it can vary from game to game. You know, I did notice that some N64 games, I thought all N64 games were darker, but some not really so. Like there's a comparison that has Kirby 64 in the Wii Shop video. It looks similarly bright. Definitely not the difference that you get with Mario 64, for example.
Right.
But you're going to be playing the actual N64 version. There was a reason you wanted to play. You, of all people, wanted to play N64 tonight.
Yeah. So this week or last week, around on Tuesday, I think it was, I made my way down to like central Kentucky and visited our good friend Voltar, who modded my N64 with the analog anti-aliasing, well, the D-blur.
D-blur, which you can see it right behind you with a yellow light that you had him put in.
That's right, you can see
green
it.
Green one. Yeah.
Yeah, I really wanted the analog version of it because I wanted to, you know, I play most of the time on the PVM. And you know, I don't love the 64. It's like probably my least essential system. And I had that mod sitting around for a long time. And I was going down there. I said, "It's okay if I bring this." He's like, "Oh, sure, sure." So yeah, this is going to be Sin and Punishment with the analog D-blur.
And you know, you were showing me some of your capture from it, and just at a glance, it looks really, really good on the OSSC. I know that it's kind of old hat now, but I'd love for us to just do some comparisons of analog D-blur versus HDMI D-blur, because I don't even know if anything like that exists out there, does it?
Not that I know of. Not that I know of. I mean, I've only played this game on the VC. I did play it a little bit years and years ago when I like lived in Buffalo. My friend Kevin got a copy of it and brought it over. I didn't play it very long though, so this is gonna be my first time like really extensively playing it with a 64 controller.
Yeah, which you hold it with the configuration that so few games use, which is D-pad and analog stick, when you don't put any fingers on the right.
Really?
Well, at least that's the configuration I've used. I think you can do you. I mean, there's several configurations. I think you can maybe move with the C buttons. What were you playing?
Yeah, I was moving with the C buttons.
Oh, okay. I have not played as much of the
N64. How do you jump version. Then?
L.
Oh, okay. See, the other way around, you can hit B and A or B will jump, and A switches your gun.
Well, I think with that configuration, I think A still switches your gun type, but that's something you do like so rarely. At least I do.
Interesting.
I mean, the best way to play this game is to not use the lock-on gun, because it's significantly weaker. So right. If you can keep up moving the stick, you know, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
But there are certain scenarios where you have enough time to use the lock-on gun. And like in the third level, There's a boss that I feel it's just easier to use the lock-on gun because you've got enough time to do it, and sometimes I run out of time trying to move the cursor around because he moves so quick.
I see. Oh, well, so you know, do you know your way around this option screen pretty well? I know this is difficulty. I'm not going to change that. And this is start and continue.
I think top right is difficulty, isn't it?
Yes. I don't know what the 3D is. You know what 3D is down here?
That's a good question.
I'm just going to start it and played it the other day for a few minutes. Interesting. So, okay, so you can play it that way. I don't know if it's too opposite of what I want to do. I'd rather use the C buttons.
I mean, it's pretty analogous to how I play it with the classic controller. You know, I don't remember if it was the default control scheme, but I always use the control scheme where on the classic controller, L jumps, R shoots, which, you know, doubles as Z in that case.
I see.
And then you move with the D-pad and move and aim with the right stick. So it's you know, very similar setup.
And I was able to, like, before I brought the system down to Voltar, I actually performed the region mod on the 64 myself.
Oh yeah. I was about to do that, but you got a Dremel not long ago.
Yeah, I mean, next time you come here, you should bring it. Or I can just, like,
yeah, but I just ended up instead buying a bunch of, like, $1 and $2 N64 sports games and, you know, replacing the back plates. Because, I mean, I've done that, you know, here and there, but then I kind of, you know, Jimmy Hoppe sent us several games, and there were probably 3 or 4 or 5 N64 games in with that. And, I think it maybe just 3, but I had also, like, gotten several N64 games that I needed to do that with, and I just hadn't. So I just bought a bunch of cheap games. I don't know. I kind of like the idea of doing that because that also means that I can take those games, you know, to someone's house or something.
Right.
And whether they have the mod or not, like, I could play it in any American N64 system.
Absolutely. I mean,
that's kind of the advantage I see of that. And I've still got several other games that I can swap the back plates on. So.
Do you feel like, is this game beatable on a stream, you think?
Maybe if you're playing on easy.
I might be playing on easy. I have no idea if I am or not. Because there's no normal, is there?
I want to say default. Default is easy. It might be easy by default. I just can't remember. I have not played too much of the game on easy before. Mostly normal, and then later hard.
Well, I have no idea what I'm playing on, so I guess we'll find. Yeah. I guess we'll see, right?
But
And you earn, like, more credits, like crazy.
You earn a lot of credits. You earn a credit for every 100 hits.
Oh, really? So you can rack them up then.
Yeah, I didn't die until the aircraft carrier wreckage level when I was recording for you.
Yeah. What do you got there? What are those games?
Well, they were sitting in the other chair, but Sandy wants to sit there, so I'm moving the stuff out of that chair. That was just a stack of PS2 games that I was using for testing some stuff. I'm working on a small episode right now. I don't know if I want to say what it is because
you might as well. I think it's kind of
cool.
We
may have said what it was before. I can't remember.
I mean the likelihood of that being out before the one I'm working on right now is probably very much so, because I'm kind of waiting on a firmware fix of, like, something that I'm working on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it'll probably be out by mid this week.
Yeah.
I'm doing a video on a official PlayStation upscaler. that was released in 1996 in Japan. It's very, very rare, and we're borrowing one right now.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like a little over 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Like a very short video. It's going to be kind of the first in a series that we're going to call M-League Mini. And we were kind of, you know, we've kind of been back and forth on this a lot over the past week or two. You know, like, oh, does this need to be its own show or anything? And we kind of were discussing it earlier, like why do we call it an M-League Mini? Like, why don't we just make it a short video? And I feel like half the thing is, like, to hold ourselves to, like, first of all, not feel guilty about making a shorter video, because we often do, whether people really care or not, you know?
Yeah, and I think that it's kind of an outlet for us to kind of do some more relaxed things.
Yeah. And I feel like the reason I really want to make it its own M-League Mini show is because, like, I want to have, like, an outlet for just, like, if you just, like, had some random idea while you were in the shower or driving home or something, and, you know, most of the time we would probably be like, oh, it's
Which happens a lot, really.
Yeah, it does, but it ends up being either something we don't do, or we, like, hold it to be part of a bigger episode. And sometimes it's like, why not just do that idea while you're excited about it? And, you know, instead of sitting onto it for a year or two or never doing anything with it at all. Like, it's just kind of an outlet for us to do some more, like, just light things that we want to do, you know?
Right.
So yeah, that's just going to be, you know, it's, and I, you know what? I feel like I said everything I want to say about it.
Yeah.
In 6.5 minutes, less than 6.5 minutes.
Can you see if there's a way for me to change the jump to the B button instead? Cause I feel like it used to be on the B button. Now it's on the R button.
So what are you using to shoot?
Well, that's on Z.
It's probably
actually better that it's there, because I can move left or right then and jump. Forget it. It's probably better.
Yeah. I mean, I think the way to go is the D-pad movement. You know, I can't remember. I feel like Tetris Sphere may have used that control scheme. With the holding the D-pad and the analog stick instead of the buttons on the right, but I can't remember. I ran Tetris Sphere once and I hated it, but a lot of people really like Tetris Sphere. Now, something with this game that took me a while to really catch on to when I first played it was how you can hit projectiles back.
Yes.
And you use the cursor to aim at what the projectile is going to go back to, and it kind of if you have your cursor over an enemy, when you hit it with your sword, then it kind of locks on.
Yeah, it's just taking me a little bit of time to get used to it.
I mean, I was surprised, like, how easily I kind of got back into the game when I was capturing the footage. I mean, it's just it the game actually took a little while for me to warm up to. Initially, I was just like, oh, you know, it's just a rail shooter. You know, it's like Star Fox, but you're on foot. But like, after a while, I was like, man, this is pretty over the top and awesome. And, you know, Sin and Punishment Star successor on the Wii is probably...
It's a better game.
Almost, it's the better game, but every time I play this, I'm like, man, this it's still real good, though. Still real good. This is kind of like serious Treasure. Like, I feel like Treasure typically has, like, more of a whimsical style, but this is like gritty Treasure. Which there are, you know, Ikaruga and what was it? Radiant Silver Gun. I get some of those. I get like the Saturn games confused a lot.
Oh, I died. Are you invincible when you dodge?
I think so. The lizard seamer, that's one of the few enemies that I use the lock on with. Please continue. Switch your gun to the lock on.
Yeah.
I use it on him and then I switch it back.
We got a donation. You want to keep an eye out for it?
Oh.
From Michael Herman.
$10. Thank you. Absolutely love Imlig. Can't believe I've been watching you guys for over 2 years now. Can't believe we've been making this for over 4 years now.
That's pretty surreal, I guess.
Sandy, no.
Jeez.
Someone in the chat saying this looks better than most games I've seen on the platform. I don't know if I would really agree. Like, there's a lot going on, and the environments aren't necessarily bad. I mean, they're able to do a lot because it's, like, on rails, you know? There's no, like,
3D right. movement.
But the character models are pretty bad. I want to say, I could be wrong on this, but I want to say I heard that it was originally in development for PlayStation. And I would say that, like, the character models kind of look like they were designed for PlayStation and then, like, you know.
You think they chose it specifically for the controller?
Maybe. Like, I mean, with a DualShock controller, it would work just fine, I would think. You know, it's amazing to me how many
Jeez. Okay.
DualShock games on the PlayStation still use R&L for controls.
Yeah. And what should I call it? Does not though. Mega Man Legends.
Legends 2.
Right.
Yeah, and that like feels so surprisingly modern. Like it's like not that far removed from something like Uncharted, like a generation before that. Like I feel like games in the PS2 era still hadn't really got third-person shooting down. But Mega Man Legends 2, like it feels shockingly modern. But it's like, how hard could that have been to figure out? Like, what the heck else was the second analog stick for anyway? You know?
Yeah.
Like why do so many games like only allow R button camera? It's crazy. Tommy Tech says, I don't know whether or not I like the regular non-DualShock PS1 controller or the PS1 DualShock more. I, you know, as much as I have come around to liking the DualShock, I've got a big soft spot for the non-DualShock, and like whenever possible on PS1, I always use the non-DualShock.
So is this the guy you're talking about? Is you got to lock onto?
I prefer to lock onto him. You can shoot some of his projectiles back at him. I jump a lot more than I dodge.
Are you invincible when you jump too?
No, but I don't know. Like I didn't have any trouble with this guy when I was recording.
Who knows? Maybe I'm playing on hard. I don't know. I can't tell.
It's possible. Yeah, lock-on is weaker, but like if you've got enough time, there's certain enemies in the game that I feel like it's better to use the lock-on so you can focus on dodging, and that's one of them. There's another enemy in the train level that it's like swings back and forth, and for the life of me, like I cannot focus on dodging and actually keeping my cursor on it.
I mean, I'm just getting crushed here. I can't, can't even see these guys pop up. I don't know if you can see, like, if you can find out what the difficulty looks like. Watch me be playing on easy or something.
I don't know how to tell right now. I forget what the difference is, if it's more enemies or, like, when I played hard mode, you know, it was, Drum and I were doing like kind of fake co-op with him.
Right.
Where I did the aiming and the shooting, like, because every controller that you put in the system, like, reads the same with this game. So you can plug in two controllers.
That's the inverted aiming. I want to see what happens. If anybody can tell me in the chat where the,
James Agnew's pretty sure that it's on normal difficulty. I think that you're selecting at the top, I'm pretty sure is difficulty level.
Is it normal and hard? Are the choices?
I don't remember. I don't remember if you like unlock hard.
Oh, okay. Oh, whoops.
Normal and easy. So which one is he on now?
I'm gonna play on easy, just so that I'm not. So okay, that would make sense then. If this would be easy, I bet right here.
Does that text make you feel it's easy?
I don't know. It's normal now.
Normal now. Okay, switch it. Then it should be easy.
Okay, so that is so. This is easy. Wait for the.
Yeah, I mean, even I would. I mean, not to say I'm a Sam Punishment Master, because once you get about halfway through the game, I start falling apart in it. But, you know, I would play on easy for the stream, just because if there was any hope of finishing it, I mean, it might still be a stretch even then.
Yeah. So let's see if this is any easier for me. I mean, I'm not above it.
No, I mean, if you want to finish this game in a stream, like, if you're out of practice, you would definitely need to, because, right. I mean, it's not an easy game. I mean, it took me a lot of work to beat it the first time.
Yeah.
But yeah, for hard mode, so I used one controller to do the aiming, and Drum used the other controller to do the dodging, because there's just, like, I want to say there is, like, a lot more going on. More enemies and stuff, and it's so much work to dodge and shoot at the same time.
Yeah,
like,
not in a bad way. I mean, it's definitely much easier to, like, dodge and shoot when you are using the pointer, the Wii remote.
One really stupid thing we did during a backloggery marathon one time, we played like
we got another donation. Wait for when it comes up. I can't look right now, from Daniel Beal. Just letting you know.
$3? Thank you. What are future plans for RG Masterclass? What are your thoughts on covering retro computer gaming platforms? Next for the RGB Masterclass,
it's going to either be Wii, Xbox, or PC Engine. All of which I think we are, like, gathering material.
Or PSP / Vita.
Yeah. I mean, all those things are currently... I mean, we don't actually have one, like, in production
Is the Super SD System 3 video going to be an RGB? Or
no, like, no, no, no. It has RGB elements, but it's going to be a tips and tweaks.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it's like...
I mean, we're going to be doing videos that have elements of that, but I think when people ask, like, what's the next RGB video, they're probably talking about a console video, because those are... In a way, I always think of those as, like, the marquee episodes. The
yes.
200 series. I'm not real sure what the next 200 will be. I mean, there's several things I want to do before then.
I mean, I'd like to do PC Engine. I've already been kind of gathering some stuff. for it.
Mm-hmm. But I kind of want to do PSP next, to be honest, over the Wii, unless there's like some Wii HDMI stuff available really soon for us to check out. In that case, maybe Wii could be next for me in terms of what I'm editing. I'm not editing PC Engine.
But now, I'm doing a pretty intensive PC Engine episode. It's going to be my next one. So if you like PC Engine stuff, I think you're going to be pretty interested in it.
And my next episode is, you know, kind of PS1, PS2 related, but it's like, you know, 6 minutes long. It's not an RGB video, but it's got, you know, there's definitely RGB elements in a lot of stuff we do. I mean, heck, the Wii Shop Channel video had RGB elements with like the system comparisons and stuff, you know? I mean, it kind of just bleeds into a lot of things that we do.
Right.
Possibly the next RGB video for me, I want to kind of commit to getting that 4K video.
Yes, I mean, you have a good amount of that script. We have many scripts right now that are kind of in a...
Yeah. I'm just kind of working on some simpler things right now because I kind of felt like I needed it.
Right.
But I
think that people are going to really enjoy the Waka video, the mini stuff that we have planned. I mean, it's just a way to... We have some bigger things planned, and we could be doing some major traveling coming up here pretty soon.
Yeah.
So the minis were very much a way for us to make content ahead of time that we can release if we're traveling.
Yeah. So that's a big advantage of that kind of thing.
Right.
So we need to make a document where we kind of like just brainstorm potential ideas.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, but I was gonna say one really stupid thing we did during a marathon once. By the way, right up here past the fire, you can rack a ton of hits.
That's what I'm doing.
I always like when the boss comes. I try to continue shooting the little guys as long as possible. It's a really good opportunity to get some extra hits. But in Sin Punishment 2. We only did like maybe the first three or four levels, but Sin Punishment 2 has an official co-op mode, whereas it's kind of hacking.
Not as cool as it could be.
Right, but it's just like the second player gets a cursor. Like you don't get to control both characters around the screen.
Right.
But the second player is a cursor. But what we did was we had three people. One person is player two with the cursor. Then the other two people have to sit close to each other. And one person moves the character with the nunchuck. And the other person shoots with the Wii remote. So we hacked it to be three player. Not really hacked, but...
I can jump left or right.
Yeah, I mean that's why it's important to have jumping on a shoulder button.
Honestly. Yeah.
I mean like for, you know, the first 10 seconds my brain rejects jumping on the L button, but it really makes sense.
There we go. I'm caught up now.
I mean, the third level is where it definitely picks up difficulty a lot.
Yeah.
Especially the boss. The boss of the third level gets tough.
Let's see if I can actually make it past this part now. I'm getting a little bit better, though. Getting a bit more of a feel for it.
The last level in this game is like kind of a side-scroller.
There's a lot of that kind of stuff in the second game.
Yeah, there's several levels kind of like that. And bosses. I love the boss music. In the second. That's the music I remember the most from it. Otherwise, I don't remember a lot of the music, but I remember it was really good. But I mean, I've only, you know, the downside to, you know, as always, a game that has infinite continues. Well, it doesn't. Well, yeah, it's just, it's continues because you go on with a set of lives. I don't think you get continues in the middle. Well, you know, it saves at the end of everything. You know, and the downside of that sort of scenario is, you know, you don't experience the game as much.
I'm trying to reflect this stuff.
So I remember much less about 2 than this game because I had to play a bunch of this game before I could actually finish it. I mean, if you're locked onto this guy on easy or normal, like, you can... You don't even need to knock stuff back out.
You can just
like, oh. Hard mode, you need to knock stuff back out.
Yeah. There we go. And there's a lot of life drops, too, it looks like.
Oh, here's another. Yeah, you're at another point where it's good to get a bunch of extra hits in.
It's hard to do everything. I'm getting a lot of credits so far.
Oh yeah,
doing better. It's bearable to watch. So yeah, I've been doing a lot of work on this episode on the Super SD System 3, the SSDS 3. I got to really practice saying that out loud because I got to. Say it a bunch in the script.
Is that what people actually abbreviate as, or are you just saying that?
I've seen people abbreviate it like that.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, it's weird because you almost want to say, like, you know, the Super System SD.
What? Why is it called that? Is there a Super SD System?
Well,
one
it's a Super CD-ROM.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Because it initially it doesn't necessarily make you think.
I thought I had to push this guy off the side here. I thought.
If you push him to the side, then when he starts to fall off the edge, you can sword him a bunch of times that he falls. That's when the big damage happens. When his forehead blinks white, like there's a.
Like that.
When his forehead blinks white, like you gotta get ready to jump. Like, not when it's like multicolor. Like, you just like shoot him back and then you can knock him off the edge. You might be able to knock him back a little bit. I think you can knock him back or her.
There I go. I got it now. Okay, good. I figured it out.
Pretty sure it's on her.
Yeah. Just takes me a little bit. I think people are going to be excited about the Super System SD3. It's a Super SD System 3.
Super SD System. Okay, that's what I've been called. Could
you? Yeah. So you're the leader of these killers. It's pretty cool. It's not without issues, but I think that they're all issues that they'll be. I've been reporting them. And hopefully they'll be fixed. I was kind of streaming some stuff from it the other night. On our Twitch, we kind of did a casual stream on, was it Friday night?
Yeah, it was Friday night.
Over on our Twitch, which, you know, if we we might do that more often, where it's just kind of like working streams in a way.
Like, yeah, like it's just like, oh hey, we're just capturing some footage or doing something. Like,
yeah.
Nothing probably real exciting. Like we try to put more effort, I guess, into the Sunday night stream. But I mean, this is really casual too. But like Twitch streams, like are maybe.
Yeah.
You see that that sort of like dissolve effect that happens on these guys? Like I don't think the VC renders that correct. I know that it doesn't render a similar effect correctly in Mario 64 and Ocarina, like the vanish cap effect in Mario 64. I think that's the same effect, and I don't think on the VC.
Oh,
I can't remember for sure.
Use the sword to kill him with one hit.
Oh yeah, yeah. You have to just hit her one time with the sword. I'm interested to see how you're gonna do on this on her next form.
Oh, is this when you're really like the alien?
This is I think when like the game takes the training wheels off is for this boss.
I guess we'll see.
The second form of the boss, you might consider doing with the lock-on. The first form, like, you just kind of got to get in the groove of when she, like, hits the claws down, you just got, like, they just alternate. So you just got to get in the groove of going on the right side.
Like, dodging?
Yeah, like, she brings her big claws down like left then right. So you just gotta like it's very much just gaining that groove. It's not that hard, but at first it looks overwhelming. Like it's just one of those situations where the battle goes on for a long time and you know it you just take more damage because it takes so long to actually. Oh, I think it's
you gotta jump.
I forgot. You gotta jump. It's a horizontal swipe. It's horizontal swipe, and then on the side.
Oop, we got another donation. Yeah, I'm getting crushed here.
Thank you. I bought a frame watch because of you. Is OSSC better nowadays? OSSC, like, you know, is. It's come a long way in terms of features, but that's been, you know, some time back that, you know, you've been able to do 4X, 5X scaling on. But it still depends on both your TV and capture card if you're interested in capturing. It's the OSSC, you know, you especially when it comes to capture, like you have to have a very specific set of capture cards, you know, choose from a specific set of capture cards for the OSSC. The best thing about the FrameMeister is it works with everything, you know? High compatibility is the best thing about the FrameMeister. The OSSC though, I mean, when it's compatible, I would say it's better for everything except maybe 480i. You know, 480i is definitely debatable, but it's really good for 240p and 480p. In a lot of ways, the OSSC can show flaws more clearly than the FrameMeister because it's just like so clean.
FrameMeister
kind of has noise of its own.
When
the wave comes up, you just like gotta jump at the last moment. Like just do a double jump at the last moment.
Oh, there's multiple forms.
Yeah, there's three forms. The last one goes down really quick, but you just gotta, like, it's just kind of move back and forth, jump. Like, I just jump. I just, like, move left and right and just jump constantly.
Yeah, I'm gonna die, though. Ugh.
Like, the last form's really easy. You just gotta keep moving and keep jumping. That's all.
And I don't get to continue there doing
that. Oh, she had 2 HP left. They're using the Brawler 64 to play this. We don't have a Brawler 64. But I understand that there was an L button problem, so it probably would be an issue with this game.
Right.
What color of controller are you playing with?
It's a yellow, like the not if not a solid yellow. I'll show you. I just want to beat this guy. Looks like this.
Oh, it's that clear one. Did it come with a certain system, or did they release those normally?
I have no idea.
I've got the gray that came with the system. I've got a green, a blue, a weird shaped, I forget what it's called, a really weird shaped third-party controller. That I just got as a random Christmas present. I never liked it too much, but I was surprised. There's a lot of people who have left comments on some of the videos saying they love that controller as their go-to. I always thought it felt very, very strange. and I can't remember if I mentioned I got gold. And then I got... this was... like early Wii days, like maybe the first couple of years of the Wii, I got a brand new gray N64 controller from store.nintendo.com. I mean, it's, you know, I always like to check that place out every now and then because you can get some things there. That
have you used it
would surprise at this point? You. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, it's the controller I almost always use now I got it. It was brand new, and I'm like, well, you know, since I'm not exactly playing a ton of N64 nowadays, like it'd be just a good controller to use for it. I mean, it's held up great. I mean, my other controllers are for the most part in very good shape too. I would happily use any of them, but that is still my best controller. I mean, I've had it for probably 10 years at this point. People talk about the Hori controller so much, but I don't like the D-pad placement. Like, I mean, not that you use it much, but it kind of bugs me. The other thing that bugs me is the Z button situation, because the Z button is, I mean, here's the weird thing with that controller. Like, if you know you were playing a shooter and Z button was shoot, well, you would be shooting with, like, it's backwards from how you would normally do it on N64. Like, modern is backwards. Like, you shoot with R on modern systems. You know, well, you shot with the left on N64, essentially, with the Z button. That always kind of, I don't know. I feel like the Z and shoulder button situation on that leaves a bit.
I forgot that you play as other characters.
Yeah, you play as Iron for 3 levels. I actually didn't realize that she was a girl until the scene where she like throws off her cloak. I was like, oh, she's a girl. Like, because her voice is, you know, doesn't really,
right,
you know, sound particularly feminine or masculine. Yeah, and then the last 2 levels you play is Saki.
How many levels are in this? I always felt like it was surprisingly long.
It kind of is. You know how I do this fight? You have to target Leda and shoot floating things into her.
That's right.
I think you might be able to damage her slightly, but you'll never do it. And then she starts running around, and you just gotta jump and hit her when she's on the pillar next to you. Let me think. This is the fourth level. The fourth level. There's two more with Iron. So that's 5 and 6. And then there's two more. So I guess it's like 8 levels, but I mean, they're long levels.
So can I just stay in this one place, basically, and wait for...
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can move if time is a concern, but you don't really need to.
Right. Get bonus. Oh, I needed it. Oh, I didn't need that help. It's okay. I keep on wanting to use the R button to, like, go to move right. I don't know why.
Say what?
I keep on wanting to use the R button to move right. Instead of the C buttons.
Jim Strong Harry says, says it's funny how this game used to be freaking expensive. Now it's pretty affordable.
Oh, is it?
I thought it had been going up at least complete. I don't know what the card only cost is. I got it for like $60 in box. Mint condition. Magfest. Or it might have even been $50. Is it $50 or $60? I remember it was $10 more the next year. It was, you know, it was probably 4 years ago, 4 to 5 years ago at this point. You know, I just saw that and I'm like, I have to have that.
Yeah. Is it Magfest? Was that Magfest?
Yeah, it was Mag. It was probably the second or third Magfest that we went to.
Wow, was it that long ago?
That I got this?
Yeah. I guess it would make sense.
Yeah. My first Magfest, I only got Dragon Quest 2 and 3. Those are the only games I got.
Yeah, you were very adamant about, like, I'm not going to buy anything. And you didn't buy anything until the last day.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it was my first convention. I weren't buy something super, really special.
I mean, we hadn't even started the channel yet.
No, that was. Like, I really caught the bug there. Like, I'd never really been in a place since Funko Land went away, where I could just, like, browse all of these old games, you know?
Right.
And I did most of my retro game buying on, or basically all of it, been doing it on eBay for years. And, you know, I got a handful of retro games a year. But, you know, mostly I was buying new games at that time.
Right.
And then, you know, I mean, I've always, like, kept my old systems hooked up and played them. But for the most part, I thought I already had what I wanted in those systems, you know? And, you know, I would, like, come up with just a handful of things a year that I would want, and I would just get on eBay. But then, like, going to MAGFest that first year, like, just being able to browse through all these games, and it's just such a different experience. Like, you know, even still, like, I prefer to... You can shoot the floating things back at him. Like, if you want to beat him in time, you're gonna have to use your sword and fire those things.
Floating things.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think you might not want to use the on easy mode. You might be okay using the lock. But the floating things.
I was
like,
very
you
close
don't,
to dying. I didn't realize I could do that.
Yeah. You pretty much have to. Oh, wow, I'm surprised you made it.
I know, it's pretty close. It's at the end of the level?
Yeah, just going through all those games was just like a totally new experience.
It was awesome. I mean, it was that first one was really fun.
Like, I had had retro stores in my area for a long time, but I just never really thought to see if I never thought to look them up or anything. I never visited them. And then after MAGFest, then I started looking it up and, you know, it really is so much more fun just to find games. Like, a lot of times, like, sometimes I'm like looking for specific things, but a lot of times it's just like, you see something, you're just like, oh yeah, I want that. That's part of what just makes it a lot more fun. You want to shoot Leda before she gets onto your plane. Like, when she is like approaching you, you can't hurt her. When she's approaching you, you want to knock her back, or else she'll start throwing bombs, and the battle will just go on for a long time.
Right.
I've never figured out if, like, in that sword duel, if there's, like, a strategy to it. I've always just, like, tapped the button.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's only ever hit me, like, once.
All right. That went pretty good.
I just tap it. Okay, so this next level is where the game gets hard.
Strange powers. Nope, we got another donation.
I'll read it when I see it pop up on stream. It seems Achi has taught you. Oh wait, for some reason the chat is like really short on the monitor I normally look at. I opened it up on another monitor so I can look back. Hey guys, just tuned in. I have a question. How should I go about converting my CRT television's component port to HDMI? Wait. Can you do that? I don't think there's any reason to do that, to be honest. You know, I had a...
Well, you wouldn't be able to survive, or it wouldn't even be able to accept whatever signal it was sending anyways.
Right, I mean...
It'd probably be minimum 40p.
Yeah. I mean, with an analog TV, you should use analog connections. I mean, there's no... You're not going to get any tangible benefit from a digital connection. Those TVs are just designed for it. You could play PS3 games or 360 games decently on a TV like that if you really wanted to. But I mean, for the most part, you're going to play, those games are best played on a modern TV. I had an HD CRT that I used to love, and I kind of fell out of love with it. And it had a DVI port. And you know, the funny thing about it is, when I first got my PS3, I was using an HDMI to DVI cable with it for a long time.
See, this is the kind of on-rail stuff that I like.
Yeah.
I mean, this is full-on on-rails, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, this level is hard, though, at least on normal. This is where I start to have trouble the first four levels I can do pretty darn good on a cold run, but then this, I start to fall apart. I played, what was weird about, though, was there was actually some noise, and it must have just been, like, a poor implementation of that DVI port, because there shouldn't be, like, it was like rolling noise that I could see on like dark screens.
That might have been a power supply issue, though.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it was noise that I could only really see when I was using. I mean, I don't know. It must have just been implemented poorly into the system or something, into the CRT or something. I don't know. But I actually got better results with component, which was good, because when I started streaming PS3, using component connection was a lot more convenient. There's a thing that I want to do some tests with. I haven't turned it on in years, but it might actually be a useful device. I've got this box. I want to say the company.
You talk about the one in the mini? No.
It's a different one. It's a box by Audio Authority, and I got it when I started streaming, because I wanted to be able to use 480p for Wii and GameCube when I was streaming with component cables. But there was like no consumer or even prosumer card really that would let you do that at the time. I think the Black Magic, but I had, you know, the Black Magic is not very video game friendly.
Right. I mean, it's
yeah, learned the hard way.
There's a reason it is the way it is, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that it has to adhere to very strict, like, broadcast standards, because that's what it's made for.
Yeah, it is. But I bought this box. Like, you know, on the backlogger, we were, like, on the cutting edge of streaming, I feel. Like,
you really were.
Like, this was early days. And, you know, even though I, you know a lot more about analog signals and stuff now than I did then, like, still my, like, glancing interest and knowledge and...
I was, like, out of time there, and I can't believe that I didn't... What happens when you run out of time?
It looks like you were losing health.
Oh, okay.
This next part, this is, I cannot do this part with the bombs. Like, you're blowing them up really quick. Well, now you're getting hit. On normal, it's like basically impossible to shoot those before they blow up, and they, I'm so bad at dodging them. Anyway, I had this box. So I was running, you know, I had a really cool AV receiver. I mean, I still have it, but I'm not using it right now. That had several component inputs, and it output S-video and composite over component. Now, I think it did do some color conversion stuff, so, like, color accuracy wasn't 100%, but, you know, for my needs at the time, it was totally acceptable.
Right.
Very convenient to just hook up everything with component. It was great. So, you know, like, Super Nintendo was hooked up S-video, you know, into the unit, you know, same with N64 and PlayStation. PlayStation 2 was component. You know, so I had, you know, I was running tons and tons of systems through there and all outputting all component. So anyway,
I'm just really enjoying how awesome this level is.
It is. It's really hard on normal and hard, though. But this is like the level I think of when I think of this game. Like, it's so stupid that you're, like, flying around on a piece of aircraft. Awesome, aircraft carrier. But anyway, so it was great. So I had and it actually had two component outputs, I think. Or was that another? I might have been using another switcher, component switcher that had two outputs. I was using a smaller one by Shiny Bow before I had the Impact, which also had two outputs. But anyway, I had this box that took component in, and I think it passes component out as well, and it converts it to VGA.
Which was good, because you wanted to just do it on your computer monitor. It's just easy.
Well, no. That's not it. The reason I did that, it's so roundabout, was because I couldn't find any way to capture component video, especially not that would allow 480p. So I couldn't find anything also that would convert component to S-video, which I could capture S-video, right? So, this is the stupidest thing. I converted component to VGA, and then VGA to S-video, so I could capture it.
And it worked, though.
I feel like it did, and there's a lot of dip switches, actually, on the box. Now, I think you can, like, change to RGBHV, RGBS. I should do some more tests with it, because I bet you could do some cool things with that. With this box I already have, and I've been meaning to test it out.
Yeah. I see a question in the chat.
I really need to go to the bathroom.
Okay, well, hang on, hang on, let me just pause it.
What is it? I might be able to, it's a thing.
Yeah.
What is a good consumer CRT to look out for? Currently I have a C64 monitor, but it's too small to use the main display. I just got a C64 monitor not long ago, and I really haven't tested it out, and I'm excited to do so. We like the Toshiba, like the later Toshiba series, but You know, I gotta be honest, it doesn't look as good as it used to now that I'm used to looking at PVMs. But it does look good for a consumer CRT. I don't have a lot of experience with like later Sony consumer CRTs, but I'd like to have one, and I really need to go to that.
Okay. So, yeah. I did see a question earlier about like when is the CRT geometry episode coming, and it is still planned. We just want to, we really want to work with a technician on it, so we've been kind of holding out for that to happen. I think we just gotta suck it up and do it. I think is what's gonna just need to happen.
Here we go. You will get us through this crisis.
Everyone wants a geometry episode. I know, because we've been talking about it for way too long, and it is kind of stupid how long we've been wanting to do it. Come on. That's not good. I didn't see the level ending thing pop up. I'm familiar with the Arctolad. I played them all except for End of Darkness. I think that was the last one. Like the kind of action RPG online one. One and two were excellent. Three is okay. I really liked four, Twilight of the Spirits. Tri had the collection and did not like it. So we ended up getting rid of it. Arctolad 2 is ridiculously long. I mean, probably even too long of a game. I mean, the first one is so short, so it kind of, maybe they're really trying to make up for it.
Is he dead?
Christopher, this is on a Wii. Or not on a Wii, duh. It's on an N64. I don't know why I said the Wii. It's definitely not. I don't even know what's going on in the plot.
Is that the U.S. Army?
No, the weapons maker that backed Brad sent that in.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people probably were expecting us to do, like, Wii eShop stuff. And probably we should have. But we just didn't. We just didn't. Oh, that's what I need is all that help. There we go. Give me that health. Yeah, it's definitely a good, great game. I would say that it's an N64 classic. It's really a shame that it was not released on the system in the U.S. I wonder how it would have done, honestly. But, I mean, based on, you know, how popular Star Fox was, I think that it would have done pretty well. I don't know what I'm supposed to be shooting at here. Jeez. I gotta be probably shooting that. That helps. I'm not sure if they can be modded, but I think that, you know, they're definitely viable. I mean, if that's what you got, I think it's, I see no reason why you shouldn't get a composite PVM. I think it's worth it. Have I ever beaten Ed's the run on hard? I don't know what that meant. I have not. I haven't even beat it on normal. It might be fun to stream sometime.
That's targeting Cersei.
Yeah, I'm using two extension cords because the ones I have for the 64 are like 4 feet, I think. So I had to.
Oh, all right. Where are you? Oh, you got you already got through that, like that whole laser corridor.
Yeah.
Wow, that was quick. This like has an extremely small margin of error on normal, and even more so on hard. Like if like you're probably not going to make it using that lock on. And then like when you get really close to it at the end, you have to use your sword.
Oh, I thought I got him. I think I got him and died at the same time. Do I get the
continue? No, that I think the life bar goes to zero anyway.
Oh, okay, good. I mean, well, at least I get to start there.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, I wouldn't recommend using the lock on. Like you have to keep on it yourself. And then do the sword at the end. Like it, I know on normal at least it's a very small margin. Did I get S-Video to separate Luma and Chroma for C64 monitor? Yes. I have like an adapter where I could just use a regular S-Video, but I also got a C64 S-Video. I just haven't had a chance to test it yet.
Oh, we got another donation. Is it safe to approach him? Oh, what is your favorite Resident Evil from Daniel Beale? Asking. Oh, this is like a question that Tri likes to answer. I'll believe
it when I see. Do I? I mean, that's a tough choice. I mean, you know, for the record, I'm the kind of guy. Yes, I love you too, Sam. I'm the kind of guy that, you know, loves everything from, you know, the original and to 4 and 5 and heck, I even like 6, despite acknowledging it has flaws. It's tough.
I mean, Gaiden's your favorite, obviously.
Gaiden is good. It's good. It's better than you would think, actually.
By the way, would it be an easier question to say what is your least favorite? Hey,
you. I mean, if you count like the numbered games plus Code Veronica and the Revelations games, like if you consider all of those, like I consider those the main Resident Evils. You know, if you're not counting stuff like the light gun shooters and Outbreak and things, Gaiden. Things like that. I consider like the numbered ones, Code Veronica and Revelations 1 and 2. It is like the main Resident Evil, is my view. I would say my least favorite would probably be Revelations 1.
Invading America.
You know, 0 and Code Veronica are relatively low, but you know, I still like them. I've got a soft spot for Code Veronica, I think. I think 0 is fine. Just not one of the better ones.
I mean, I feel like I probably played 5 the most.
It's possible, yeah. I mean, 5 is, I think, my favorite co-op game. Or it's at least my favorite online co-op game for sure. Like it just was very big deal game for me. I know a lot of people don't like 5, but
it was really fun.
It's a ton of fun. And come on, like they brought back Wesker in a big way, and it was a good way. You know, like that was the way to bring Wesker back, and they nailed it. Bring him back into the series. But really my favorite, I would say it's between the remake of 1 and 4 probably. But 5 is just barely behind them.
Yeah. I mean, I probably like probably the first one. I do love the original first one.
I do too. But remake was the game that got me into the series. Like, I watched friends play the other ones, but I didn't really think they were for me. Like, right. I didn't think I wanted to play them. But then I loved Remake. And then, you know, I went back and played the others. And honestly, I was surprised, you know, Director's Cut Original. I was surprised how well it holds up, you know, in spite of Remake's existence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that remake is, I would say, the best video game remake of all time. Like,
and it came out so quickly after like the original. It's like such a weird thing really to think about, like that it was a remake so quick. I mean, it was like the next generation. Like
back in those days, it seemed like a longer time.
Yeah. I still haven't played 7. Believe it or not. It's so weird.
It's really good. You know, the best thing about 7 is that going into it, I didn't, like, I kind of thought it was going to be its own thing. And, you know, story-wise, there's not much tangible connection to the rest of the series, but I thought it was really going to be a total reinvention. Like, I wasn't really sure what kind of like classic Resident Evil elements to even expect. But the best thing about it is that, yes, it is kind of a reinvention, a reboot, but it doesn't throw away like what makes Resident Evil Resident.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's still got a lot of like sort of the silly gameplay stuff. Oh wow, 2017 in the future here. it's like it feels more like Resident Evil than I thought it would. It really does. It really does.
I'm switching the hands. I'm switching the movement and seeing if that helps at all.
Oh?
Yeah.
Do you just have a hand getting tired, or?
Yeah. But, you know, like, I kind of see where you mean, where it's like the D-pad moving. You know, you're moving the character with the same hand as you normally would be.
Exactly. You know? It's very modern, really, in that way. By the way, the little kid in this level, you realize that's the male lead in Sin Punishment 2.
Yes.
Which, other than that, I have no clue what the story connection is between 1 and 2, because it doesn't, sure doesn't seem like there is. Like, the story in both games is relatively incomprehensible, which is, I kind of love.
Did I beat it? I need some health here is what I need. I can definitely see the appeal of like using it the other way around here.
Yeah.
It feels almost more precise.
This enemy is, it's tough to do and not run out of time. You want to shoot the ones that shoot purple at you because they cause a chain reaction. But it like it regenerates over time, so you want to get the purple ones to blow off so you can get more at once. Like if you see one, like drop everything to shoot it.
I see.
Like you're not gonna make much progress shooting the individual ones at all.
I see. I'm out of time anyways. Is it gonna send me back all the way? You think?
I forget where the checkpoint is.
Please continue. I have a lot of continues. Oh no, it sent me. I just get to start right here.
Which systems do we realistically see as being the end of the RGB 200 series? I mean, I feel like it could go on for a very long time.
Yes, for sure.
You know, obviously a number of priorities still remain. You know, I mean, we still want to do stuff like Atari and maybe even some other things that you wouldn't even think of.
It's weird to think of it like
that. But I do think, you know, we want to prioritize, like, you know, the ones that people are most interested in.
Yes. I had a good one there. Just gotta basically start shooting.
But yeah, there like as soon as you see it. Like, yeah. You gotta be quick.
You're absolutely right. This is like, it's so much better to play like this.
What?
It's hard to be a little, to be like perfectly on the spot, like to maneuver your gun just smoothly with the hand that you're not used to aiming with.
Yeah.
It's gonna be close.
Yeah, I'm gonna take Sandy out.
Okay. Ah, come on. I don't know if I'm gonna do it. If I do it, it's gonna be close. Because gaining health back too. Let's try that again.
Please continue.
So precise and basically be on the correct one. Is there any way to tell like how where it's gonna appear?
How you still didn't beat it?
No, you have to hit it so many times. And sometimes you basically have to be on top of it, like shooting
can
it
shoot,
from the time that the second it appears.
Can you shoot the yellow orbs back?
I can. Okay, well that would change a lot. I'm There we go. Good call. Yep, that's it.
I guess. How many continues do you have left?
I got several.
I want to say, like, the last two... I want to say this might be the hardest level.
Really?
There's a lot of segments in this level that are very demanding of time, I feel. I feel like the next level is not that bad.
All right. Well, I think I can do this now.
Please continue.
I want to say it's the next boss that,
that's difficult.
That I had the most trouble with on this level. But I want to say that if you use the lock on, it's okay, at least on lower difficulties. I have not played this level as much as the ones before it, because if I'm playing on normal, I usually start struggling on the aircraft carrier level.
Right.
Aircraft wreckage level, rather. Yeah, and shooting the stuff back also helps just manage the clump better.
The clump. Yep. Oh, so that's the end of the level. So now there's...
Oh, it is?
Yeah, so you said this next level is one. Oh, we got another donation from Daniel
Beal. I'm surprised this in the level, because did you find it like a dangling?
There's another donation.
Oh, I would consider Castlevania to be a mainstay in the lives of many gamers, but the series encompasses several genres. Which style appeals to you personally, and what would you consider the best example of that genre? I like both, but I find myself... since the series is, for all intents and purposes, kind of dead, I find myself kind of gravitating more toward the action ones, I guess.
Yeah, I'd agree with you.
But at the time that they were actively releasing the so-called Metroidvania style, I think I preferred that. But then I kind of fell out of it with Order of Ecclesia, to be honest. Like, I feel like that's a popular... favorite. Like, it was really well reviewed when it came out, but I feel like sort of the it was like the curtain was pulled back with that one, and I kind of like saw the seams in the gameplay, and I started seeing things that I didn't like about it. I kind of for the action ones, I guess. I don't know if you are asking for advice on getting into the series. My go-to answer for like the best entry, like for a beginner, like if you're interested in the action games, I feel like Castlevania 4 on the Super Nintendo is a really solid starting point.
Kind
of a very inventive game, very ambitious for an early Super Nintendo game. It does like a lot of interesting hardware stuff that, frankly, it probably shouldn't have tried to do, but it's really awesome that it did.
Is this the boss you're talking about?
No, I don't even remember this boss. Yeah. No, I was talking about a boss in the train that like swings back and forth. Maybe it's not on easy.
Maybe.
But anyway, oh yeah, you've got like tons of credits.
Yeah, but I don't need it too.
And, you know, Rondo of Blood on the PC Engine is, you know, I think a lot of people consider it like the best action Castlevania. And like, when I look at it, I'm like, yes, it is the best, but for some reason I've never been as attached to it as like the NES and Super Castlevania 4. Like, I don't know.
Right. I mean, yeah.
I don't know why.
Oh, we got another donation from Sean.
Cool. Queen. Thank you. Thank you very much. But,
how do I even dodge this stuff? I gotta jump over that.
I just don't remember this boss. Can you shoot the tentacles? Like, should you get rid of the tentacles?
Yeah, it looks like I can.
And can you sword the thing in the middle? I just don't remember this boss at all.
Jeez, it's just like, there's so much stuff going on. It's like really hard to. Really see what's going on. If that makes sense. It just seemed like there is like so much. Whoa.
Oh yeah, Bloodlines. Castlevania Bloodlines is really good. I think it's harder than a lot of the other action games because virtually all of the action-based Castlevanias have infinite continues. And even though Bloodlines has a password system, that password system remembers how many continues you had when it gives you a password. So it is a limited continues
game. That's gotta be like, maybe that would be like more of like one of the coolest things about the Twitch too is like if we felt like we wanted to like kind of play through a game, we could do it over there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I should do something like that sometime.
Yeah. Bloodlines is really good, but it's a bit less forgiving than the others because of the limited continues. Off the top of my head, I can't even think if it might be the only limited continues game in the series.
Because on the Genesis.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Genesis has, I feel like, very few infinite continues games or games with saves.
Yeah.
I don't consider it among my top favorites of the action Castlevanias, but yeah, it's really good. It's just a lot more intimidating. You know, that is a nice thing about Castlevania, even though they are generally very hard games. You know, they have infinite continues, so they're very manageable. Yeah, I really like Castlevania 4 a lot. You know, Rondo, I mean, you can't go wrong with Rondo, but yeah. Like I say, for some reason, something about like 1, 3, and 4. Like, I like 2 as well, although I've only played through the whole game once, I think. Maybe twice? But I think just once.
That might be another one. I mean, maybe that's like we can do like actual playthroughs of stuff on the Twitch if we wanted to.
Yeah. Just, I mean, who cares how long it takes? If you're just like playing a game, it's like, maybe I should stream.
Yeah.
You know, it might just be one of us. It might not be all that exciting or interesting, but it's just something to do, you know?
Jeez, this guy's crushing me.
We try and make this more of an event, I guess.
Yeah.
But,
give me some health here. There's some life.
But as far as, like, the Metroidvania style, that's a really hard question. You know, I hate to admit it, but I've only played through, the entirety of Symphony of the Night once. I've played like half of it another time or two. But you know, I don't.
Same here, but I mean, I like spent a lot of time on it when it was new.
So I've never like really had like that. I mean, I feel like that is a lot of people's favorite Metroidvania.
Yeah, I mean, I can't get into any of the other ones, like the portable ones. I've tried. I mean, I guess Aria of Sorrow was pretty good.
Yeah, Aria of Sorrow at the time was my favorite, at least my favorite on GBA. But again, I've only played all of. Did I play? No, I did. I'm pretty sure I played Harmony of Dissonance only once. Like on DS, I played Dawn of Sorrow like regularly once, but I also played the Julius mode, which is pretty cool because it lets you play as Julius, Belmont, Alucard, and Yoko Bellinati's, you know, so it kind of takes a Castlevania 3 sort of approach. So I played that mode. And I want to say I played an extra mode in Portrait of Ruin as well. Yeah, most of those I've only played one time. I really couldn't tell you what my favorite is. Like, if you were to only play one, I would say Symphony just because it's Symphony. But,
right.
Like, otherwise, like, maybe Aria of Sorrow. Aria of Sorrow is really short. Like, 5 hours. So it's like not a major commitment, and it's super good.
These things sound crazy. These tree, are they these creatures? They sound weird coming out of my headphones.
You know, I really like it. Not necessarily as a Castlevania game, but I thought Lords of Shadow was quite an interesting game. Honestly,
I really want to play the second one still.
Yeah, you know what? I got it for like $5 new.
Same here.
You could get it for $5 new. Why not? But I like have always like never for a long time didn't have a lot of like pressing desire to get to it. One of our friends on the backloggery says that it is, in their opinion, the best
Metroidvania style.
Like, yeah, it's like Metroidvania style, like the best sort of Metroidvania 3D sort of layout. And that got me really interested because I had no idea it was Metroidvania. Like, I assumed it was more linear, like Lords of Shadow 1. So that I'm really interested in that. Like, I want to see how that plays out.
This I couldn't even tell what was going on. Could I even kill those things?
Yeah, this level, I feel like there was a lot of parts of it that I kind of just rushed through.
Hope I have to do the whole thing again.
I feel like if you just keep moving, like, you know.
I think I had made it to a checkpoint, like just as I died.
There's no physical version of the HD version of
the
Mirror of Fate or whatever it's called. No. Yeah,
I would love to get that if it existed.
Yeah, I mean, not even in like another region.
I don't know.
I mean, if it was Japan, that'd be a problem, just because I feel like it'd be a hard game to play in Japanese.
Get those health pickups there. Here we go.
Are people talking about Toys R Us? I went there on Thursday because apparently that was when the sales were supposed to start, and they did not. I guess they started Friday, I think. But I was reading today that I guess, like, most of the sales are, like, most things are 10% off and I heard that Nintendo stuff might not even be included. So it sounds like there's not much deals to be had there right now.
Right.
Like my big Toys R Us memories definitely are picking up Kirby Superstar and playing N64 for the first time there. And
it's too real to be real.
Too real to be real. and the video, the Laserdisc video kiosk that had like the Nintendo trailers and stuff on it, which is when I saw Yoshi's Island trailer, and that was like, it was like the first time that I was like looking at a game before it came out and being like, oh my gosh, I want this. Like, I want to buy it as soon as it comes out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, before then, also, I want to point out that this boss's name is Manseamer.
Manseamer?
Yeah. Like, I don't even know what
Seamer is. I was doing so good there for a second, just like with no health left.
Like, there's, like, Lizard Seamer and all sorts of things. Like, I have no idea, like, what category of enemy a Seamer is supposed to be.
Jeez, that's, like...
How long is this game? Corey's on the last level. He's playing on easy, so, like, you know, it's got limited continues, so it's a significant investment of time if you're like trying to play through the game on normal. Like, it's gonna take a number of places. It's not an easy game. I feel like you'll probably do okay on the final boss.
Is this the final boss right here?
Oh, did you finish the level?
I think. Oh, it's this guy. This woman.
The final boss is what's her face?
Why are you doing this?
Giant blink iron man.
Testing your feelings. Look at yourself. Half of you is refusing iron. He's
testing your feelings.
That's why you look that way.
I'm not refusing her.
Like, there's a... You can kind of get in a groove with the last boss, if I remember, where you, like, basically can't die as long as you continue to blow up certain things, because I think there's a lot of...
Is this it right here?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of...
I kind of remember this.
Drops. Yeah, like, she, like, throws, like, an earth on you.
Yeah. It looks pretty good with the D-Blur, doesn't it? On the analog, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. And we really need to just do a quick comparison video. I feel like there's lots of health drops, though. Oh, it's not health drops. It's like, it's so easy to get 100 hits.
Oh.
That's what it is. So you basically have infinite continues from this point.
Right. All those get bonuses, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So as long as you've got 100, as long as you get 100 every single time, then...
And you're...
By the way, the lower life bar is the earth. Like, you don't want the shots to hit.
Right.
So if the lower life bar runs out, the earth mimicry is the top life bar. That's the boss.
Oh.
So I don't really understand what's really going on in the story here, but like, I know that the Sin and Punishment 2 story has something to do with...
I see. Okay, I was looking at the wrong one. Okay.
The Sin and Punishment 2 story has something to do with... with like multiple Earths or something.
Yeah. So essentially, you don't want to like move.
Yeah, I mean, there might be some things to dodge, but you should definitely be more focused on stopping stuff from hitting the planet than dodging stuff yourself.
Right. It's almost like Missile Command.
Yeah. Yeah, when you shoot the stuff back, it hurts the Earth member. But, like, playing this game for this long, like, how do you feel about the N64 analog stick? I mean, it's like...
Eh.
There's a lot more degrees of movement, I feel like, than on modern controllers. I don't know that for a fact, but I feel like there's a lot more finesse that you can get out of it. I mean, it's, you know, it's hard, not exactly the most comfortable, but it's, you know?
Well, how do I can hit him. Okay. I can hit the big fireballs back, I guess. That's kind of a cool idea for the last boss.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. You're barely hurt.
I know, but the Earth is having a hard time. It's not.
Your Earth's health is ahead of Achi's Earth. I really gotta read up more about the story in this game. I mean, it's complete nonsense, but it's interesting.
Did I do it? I did it. I wasn't even watching. Is that the last boss?
11 o'clock. Yeah. For some reason, I thought that was in a totally separate level from, like, the side-scrolling level. But, I mean, I thought, like, it was its own level. But I guess not.
Is it possible to add a RGB SCART port on an NTSC CRT TV? It is.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
I'd like to get it done on my Toshiba.
You gotta know what you're doing, but... Yeah, I'd love to have a TV with that, too.
Yeah. I wouldn't have to use my transcoder anymore. She's gone, but she dragged us into. Well, the Wii Store is not ending tomorrow. You just won't be able to buy points. You could buy $200 worth of points tonight.
Yeah.
And be ready.
I have like $22 worth of extra points, like just in case. I mean, not just in case. I will spend them regardless before next year. Mm-hmm. Hopefully sooner than later, but like I bought all the things I definitely wanted to buy, and then I added like 22 more points just in case.
22? You could kill all the
ruffians yourself. Or 2200.
Oh. I'd need you to protect me.
Well, I had. I forget what like the exact denominations you can enter are. I think I have like $2 left. So I added either an extra 20 or maybe I had 12 left and I had an extra 10. I forget.
I mean, I was telling you earlier that, I mean, not today, but a while back, that I basically use my Wii VC games to kind of track what I don't have physical.
Yeah, yeah.
At this point.
I mean, most of what I got on there, like spent money on, is like stuff that is like, unique, or I am very unlikely to actually get a cartridge of, like Euphoria or Wild Guns.
It is really sad, though, now that I'm kind of thinking about it more, that it's going away. Like, I mean, it was like my main game outlet for a while after I sold off large portions of my game collection.
I used it quite a bit too, but you know, like I've always had my old systems hooked up, so I rarely bought anything like duplicate. Only things I was like just really curious to see. Like I bought Mario 1 just because I felt like it just felt like a thing to do, you know. And at the time, there was kind of an NES benefit, even though they were really dark. There was still the benefit because it wasn't composite, you know.
Right.
Which was all I had for NES at the time. So that was some benefit. But still, I mostly played the actual NES. I bought very few Super Nintendo. because there weren't a lot that came out that I was interested in that I didn't already have. I learned about Cybernator through the VC, and I learned about Wild Guns through the VC. Of course, Cybernator is different because it's actually, you know, affordable. Although it is going up in price. Cybernator is on track to become an expensive game.
Yeah.
But it was like, I don't know, like 3 or 4 years ago, I got it for like $16.
Russian Morgan was wondering how much of my collection I've replenished. Like a decent amount, like most of it. Yeah, at this point. I mean, I got some, there's a few that are pretty pricey that, you know, like Snatcher, that I won't be able to do. But maybe I'll buy that sometime this year. That would be nice, but we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of games that I had like better copies of, I guess. I'm constantly looking for a manual for my Wonder Boy in Monster Land, which is missing a manual.
I don't think I've ever sold
there's
anything.
There's Bill Trinan as the English translation on this.
Well,
Trinan. I don't know if it's Bill Trinan. Is that how it's?
I think it's Trinan.
Trinan.
You know, Bill Trinan retweeted that video of Sandy barking at Kirby.
Yeah, that's right. Didn't quite make it to 6,000 retweets last time I looked, but it's pretty close.
Has it crossed 200,000 views?
I don't know. I haven't looked at views on it in a long time.
But yeah, back to the collection. Like I don't, you know, I sold a number of games over the years. Like I did like mini collection purges where it was just like, this game didn't like really resonate with me. And now I'm more at a point where I'm like, ooh, this game is interesting. Like, you know, like even if it's like not that amazing of a game, if there's something interesting about it, I still want to like have it again. But I sold things here and there over the years, and I've tried to reacquire some of what I did, but I never did anything like as severe as what you did. I don't.
Yeah. Should I pick a 64 game just to kind of mess around with for a minute? I can switch back and forth with a Diebler.
Sure, if you want. I mean, let's not go too far over time because I have work in the morning.
Yep. One second. Let me just grab something else and then I can toggle it back and forth.
Archie. Archie. Hurry.
You know, talking about, I know no Corey's not listening, but talking about sort of expensive games in the collection. I learned through our Patreon Discord chat a few days ago that I guess I've got a rare version of Xenosaga Episode 3. I had no idea. Like, I didn't know they weren't all like this. I've got like a hologram cover on my Xenosaga Episode 3, which I guess Xenosaga 3 is a little bit rare anyway. But I've got like a hologram cover that people are saying was Best Buy exclusive. At the time, I may have bought it there, knowing that they had an exclusive thing. But if I knew that, I totally forgot.
Okay, you can probably barely hear me. Try you probably hear me better.
I can hear you great.
So let me see if I can turn this off. Okay, so I just turned off the
deeper. So Star Fox has actually like sort of a bit of noise that's like intentional.
We need your help.
Yeah, I wonder if I can get into the game.
Andross has declared war. He's invaded the Lilac system and is trying to take over Corneria.
They can kind of see it now.
Our army alone can't do the job.
I can see a difference.
Hurry, Star Fox.
Oh, let's.
I can't tell it from this far away from the TV.
This probably isn't the best screen to do it on. Like I say, some of these scenes in the opening have, like, intentional noise.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me move it to my monitor that's closer to me so I can...
Well, the Beebler is on right now.
Well, just go to, like, the main menu. Like, it'll be much easier to see. Star Fox is actually an interesting game for this because On the Ultra HDMI, like it has
like even the map screen, does that work?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean,
so it's off right now.
Okay.
I'm gonna turn it on right now.
I'll look at the.
I mean, I can turn on my TV and look. But I can't tell very well.
Oh yeah. I just saw it. Yeah, like if you look at the life counter, it. It's pretty obvious. It looks good. An interesting thing about Star Fox, I don't know if it might be possible that there's like a newer Ultra HDMI firmware that I don't have installed.
How do you update that?
I don't think so. You actually update it with Flashcart. But I think I'm up to date. But anyway, there's like a heuristics thing that it does on the video signal to determine whether the game is a good fit for D-Blur or not. Like, you can force D-Blur on or you can force it off, but the default is like this analysis that it decides whether to turn it on or not, depending on what kind of resolution it's receiving.
Mm-hmm.
And it works with Star Fox. Like D-Blur looks good on Star Fox.
Open the wing.
But it doesn't auto detect Star Fox as a game that should use it.
Oh, really?
And off the
that's
kind
of a big one. That's a big one.
I don't know why, though. There must just be something about the graphics. I wonder if it has something to do with sort of the dither. Star Fox uses very strong dither, and it has, like, sort of noise. Like, particularly in, like darker shadowed areas, it seems to me. Like, there's just this noise in the picture. It's just inherent to the game. And I wonder if that has something, if that, like, defeats the Ultra HDMI's ability to determine whether, but you can force it on. I personally leave it forced on because almost it looks good on almost everything. Like if it looks wrong, it's obvious, and so I'll turn it off. So I force it. I leave it forced on my system.
Yeah, I can't see myself like really turning it off.
Yeah, but there are certain games like if you're playing like for example, if you're playing like a 480i game, I don't think it usually looks good in 480i games. Like certain games might use like a weird horizontal resolution, and it only works on games that use a
I wonder how this like this D-Blur looks like on 480i games. If it looks the same or what?
I don't know. Do you have any?
Rogue Squadron is one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Let me grab it really quick.
Yeah, I don't know if it's different in that regard or not. Oh yeah, Mischief Makers looks awesome with D-Blur. You can see Mischief Makers with D-Blur in many video. It's one of my favorite examples of it because it's just so easy to show. I would like to use Wonder Project J as an example too because it's got really beautiful sprite work. But that game also kind of like this game has some noise. It's actually more, it's kind of prevalent over the whole image. It's good. There's just some N64 games that just have noise, and I don't know why. Chameleon Twist is really bad for it too. It's really mostly only noticeable in black parts of the screen. There's like this noise in the black part of Chameleon Twist, and it looks really stupid. Oh, I just realized that you're going through the OSSC, so it's going to like be doing.
It's going to do the Bob. The old Bob.
I'm looking at right now on my side monitor, which has like a super low pixel response speed. So I'm going to move it back to the main TV, see if I can see the Bob. I mean, I'm not. Yeah, I can see a little bit of the bob, but I don't think it's like that bad. Like I'd be willing to watch a stream like this. Is this a used cartridge that you picked up?
Yeah, I've never even played it.
This is an example of a game that I... You've never played this game, period?
Oh, no, I played this game. I beat this game.
Oh, okay.
But I haven't played this copy of it.
Yeah. I got this for Christmas when it came out. I never really loved it. Like, always, I guess I always, like, compared it to Star Fox, and I always thought it just felt very slow-paced compared to Star Fox.
The music it's really low at the beginning here. It's really quiet.
I couldn't quite tell on that Star Wars logo, but you know what a pet peeve of mine is? There's two pet peeves that games are hit and miss on whether they do this correctly.
Oh, is it whether the Star Wars fades out before the words start going?
I don't really overthink that one. The thing that gets me is the Star Wars logo. The inside of the letter should be black. You shouldn't see any stars through it.
Oh.
And sometimes games don't do that. It's just it's a outline with transparent letters. You can see stars through them. The other thing is the end of the crawl should always have four dots, and this one fails. It's got three dots. The end of the crawl is supposed to have four dots.
I've never noticed that they have four dots.
Four dots.
Man.
Black characters on the Star Wars logo.
Well, I guess
I've never really overthought
Factor 5, they deserved what happened to them.
Good morning, Wedge. The Reds of Rogue Squadron is still back.
You know what? What I kind of want to get again is Battle for Naboo. I was talking to John Linneman about that because back in the day I thought it was a really impressive game. I actually liked it more than this game at the time.
Wait, which one?
Battle for Naboo.
Really? I never played
it. I mean, it has no fog, I don't think. If it does, it's very minimal. But I was talking to John Linneman about it, and he's like, the frame rate in that game is so bad. But I mean, that was like...
It's better in your memories, right?
Yeah. But I want to get it again. I liked it at the time. Like, there's more, like, variety to, like, the types of levels and stuff.
Jabba's Palace.
But, you know, I always like Shadows of the Empire more than this, personally. Like I've always kind of thought of Shadows of the Empire as not really a particularly good game, but, like, I've always just, like, really had a soft spot for it. Like, it's hard to go back to. It doesn't, like, control very well. But it's... I would love to really replay it, though. Like, I enjoyed it a lot at the time. Like, it came out, like, right when I was kind of getting into Star Wars, like...
Or with the special editions. You got back in there with the special editions, didn't you?
Well, like, I was only, like, vaguely aware. Like, I was aware of Star Wars, but, like, I wasn't really a big movie guy at the time. Like, I only, like, Star Wars was... You know, I acknowledge a lot of the problems with them now, but, like, I got into Star Wars at the time the special editions were coming out. Like, you know? Like, mm-hmm. So I have less of a problem with the special editions than a lot of people do, but, you know, I definitely, you know, acknowledge a lot of the problems. But I'm not opposed to watching them or anything.
Right.
But But anyway, so, like, you know, it kind of came out around the time the special editions were coming out, and that's when I was getting started. Star Wars was, like, a really big deal for me, like, in my early teenage years.
Yeah, well, for me, too. But, I mean, I was...
You were older, you know.
I was older, but, I mean, I was older when, you know, I was a senior in high school when...
It was a big deal for me, though. Like, it was, like... I feel like it was like the big bonding element for like me and my high school friends was like, we were all like big Star Wars nerds.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, I kind of got out of it like following the, you know, I was really pretty accepting of the prequels at the time. Like me and my Star Wars nerd friends, like, you know, went to the theater to see them a bunch of times and overanalyzed them and stuff. But like, I feel like kind of in the aftermath of the prequels, like I kind of stopped feeling like a Star Wars fan anymore. And then I've definitely been like much more excited about Star Wars with like the new movies now. Although I have to admit, like I still haven't decided what my feelings on Last Jedi.
I'm just kind of coming to the realization that I'm just like not feeling like any of the movies, the new movies, the way that I expected to. I'm kind of feeling the same way about them as I do about the prequels. Like I
really like Force Awakens. I think it's great. Last Jedi, like, I don't know. It just, like, the big thing that gets me about Last Jedi is, like, a significant portion of the movie is spent on a mission that has zero impact on the story. Like, that's very frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, it also comes down to the fact, you know, like, when I was really into Star Wars is when the, you know, like, the first kind of extended universe books started coming out, and I read like the first, like the Heir to the Empire and like Dark Force Rising and Last Command. It was like the Timothy Zahn trilogy, and I thought it was awesome. I mean, it was like a great kind of continuation, you know, picking up, I think it was like 10 years after Return of the Jedi, or 5 years or something like that, and it was awesome, you know. Like, that's kind of what I wanted kind of from these new movies that I'm just like not getting, I guess.
See, I was never really into extended universe stuff. I mean, like,
I mean, that's the only extended universe stuff that I actually read was just those three books, because then they started just coming out so quickly and there's like too much stuff. But it was
basically all the extended universe I've ever been into are just the handful of Star Wars games I've played, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Which I never played a ton. I want to play the Knights of the Old Republic games. I've played like a couple of hours of the first one before, but I was mostly just into the movies. But I was big into the movies. I'm actually interested to see here a lot of, I feel like the prevailing, of course I don't pay as much attention to the internet these days, but I feel like the prevailing attitude has been that, oh yeah, Last Jedi was awesome because it, you know, it did many things that you wouldn't expect with
yeah, well, yeah, I think I'm getting a lot of people in the chat that are going to correct you. There's a lot of people
who
you don't pay attention to that stuff, and you're lucky you don't do it.
Yeah,
and I only see it based on like here and there, but like I just don't care.
Paid a lot of attention. I got the impression that a lot of people were like, oh, it's so divisive, you know, it does things that no one would expect you to do with Star Wars. I mean, it has less to do with what it did and more like just how it did it. Like, I just could not get over the fact that, like,
well, you don't want to spoil anything.
A quarter of the movie, at least, is spent on this mission that didn't matter. The only the planets weren't very interesting. And that's always been a big thing in a Star Wars movie to me, is it's like usually like three planets that you actually go down on and visit and spend some time there.
Mm-hmm.
And like Last Jedi didn't have that. It only had like two planets really.
Yeah.
One was just a barren ice world, And the other was this boring casino planet that had no business being in the story.
I think my like my biggest problem was probably just like the humor did not work for me.
No, it didn't.
It felt too like real world humor, I guess.
Yeah, I did. The thing that really gets me is that
like
one
they're
line.
They're joking about things that are.
I can see that. The one thing that really got me was that I didn't like was Finn's remark of, you know, like, yeah, I'm rebel scum. That was pretty bad. I mean, but I really do like Force Awakens. I thought Rogue One was interesting, but missable. But anyway, you know, say all that to say that, you know, if this, the time in my life, like in 64, you know, these were my teenage years, and, you know, I was a big Star Wars fan. But this game, like...
The fog is crazy in this game.
Yeah, but like I said, there's no fog in Battle for Naboo, which I always thought was interesting, but like I say, John says that the frame rate is real. And it's just been so long since I played it. I keep forgetting. Like, that's one of the games I keep forgetting, like, to look for. I think it might be a blue cartridge. Unless I'm making that up. Yeah, Shadows of the Empire I always thought was just like... You know, it felt like a fun expansion to the... to the Empire Strikes Back era of the story, I guess. You know, I liked, like, there's this whole level dedicated to, like, tracking down and fighting IG-88. I just felt like the levels were, like, there were just a lot of, like, interesting places that you visited.
I'll just beat this level, or something will happen. Call tonight.
Oh, hey, we've got a Nick Mueller in the chat room, which reminds me. I meant to tell this story earlier because it was such a stupid thing. I randomly had a dream, like maybe two nights ago, that HD Retrovision, which this is not at all in their wheelhouse, but HD Retrovision made an FPGA, a portable FPGA Neo Geo. It was a 19-inch 4x3 LCD screen that was like curved convex, like a CRT bubble, and you like held this like handheld 19-inch LCD in your hands to play Neo Geo games by HD.
That was like their big idea.
Yeah,
that's what they've been slowly working towards.
So drop everything and get on that, Nick.
Wouldn't it be funny if there's like a top secret project that's like you dreamt it?
Yeah, I've got some sort of psychic connection there that I didn't even know about.
Is there a break in this? I mean, can you slow down at all?
Probably. I don't really know the controls to this game very well. I mean, I only really beat it one time, I think. I mean, but I did, like... I think I got, like, the gold medals and stuff for most of the levels. Like... I don't know. Like, I've always liked on rails flying shooters better than, like...
Than the free roaming? Yeah, me too.
Like, it's just, like... It just seems like with an on rails shooter, there's, like, something interesting happening all the time. You know?
Yeah.
And with this, it's like, you gotta track stuff down. It's a slower paced game.
I do admit that I do like the using the N64 controller. I think one of the reasons I did not like it for a long time is because analog, I just didn't have the restraint to like use the analog for a long time. You know, you want to press it all the way, you know?
Right. Well, and you know, I was 12 when the N64 came out, and I think I was like younger and more receptive to like trying out a new control method, you know?
Yeah. There's the
bottom. I mean, yeah, it was, you know, it was very foreign to me too at first, but I was like, oh, you can make Mario tiptoe.
Right. The thing about these, the rogue leader and, you know, like these games, the rogue squadron games, is when you fail, like the person who talks to you is like so mean about it. Rogue group, you failed. Like they're just like so disappointed. And, you know, it's in the second one, you know, if I always hate it when, you know, something's under attack and, you know, they're calling for you over the radio and they're like, rogue group, where are you? All right. I failed the second mission. Rendezvous in Barkesh. All right. Is that going to do it for this week? Any last minute questions? So you think your episode will be out like midweek? Probably. Yeah. That's the idea. It's going to be our first mini. I think it's going to be pretty cool. And expect more minis in the future. It's just like we can kind of have them be about whatever we want them to be about. And, you know, it's not going to be like a lowering of quality of the stuff that we do. It's just going to be maybe more bite-sized here and there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this first one, you know, is probably more complex than a lot of them will be. They won't all be technical topics. It'll just be whatever we want.
Yeah.
It could be some totally light, more lighthearted and unexpected.
A quick little game review if you played through something and you said, hey, I want to talk about this for a minute.
Yeah, why not?
Or maybe it can be, who knows? I mean, some of that stuff is stuff we had previously done as kind of a, like a Patreon type thing. So I think it'll be, you know.
But more polished than that.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But, yeah.
All right.
Not going to do it?
I guess so.
All right. We will see everybody next week. Have a good night.
Good night.